So we were discussing the problem of Mipiatzmo and Mipiacherim. I want to try to finish that part of it tonight. And the next week we'll just go straight. We'll go on from now, you know, straight through the Gemaras. So the getting back to the where we were, the Mishnah says here on Lamed Amud Aleph, as we discussed thoroughly last time, the first Mishnah in the Perek enumerates four factors that are crucial in the Chiyuv of Shavuos Eidos. And I'm just going to run through again very quickly. And I want to zero in. We talked about all four last week, and I want to talk a little bit more about Mipiatzmo and Mipiacher. So the Mishnah says that Shavuos Eidos noheges banashim velo benashim brechokim velo bekrovim bekshem velo bepsulim eno noheges ela beruyin lahayid. The first factor is that Shavuos Eidos, which is about, again, imposing an oath upon one who is accused of knowing and suppressing testimony. So in order for that, and it turns out that indeed he knew, he lied under oath, right? However we define oath. And the result is that he brings a carbon Shavuos Eidos. So since this is a Shavua, targeting an aid, or aidim actually, plural, two aidim who can affect the case. So the first requirement that the Mishnah enumerates is the requirement of Ruyin Lahayid, meaning it has to be people who indeed are fit to testify. If you have someone who, you know, is lying about what he knows but couldn't have testified even if he had been telling the truth, then that individual is not subject to Korban Shavuos Eidos. So what I did mention last week is two things. Number one, that you know, there are some interesting cases. Is this really about Eidos or is it about effectiveness? Because there are cases in which individuals can be effective in terms of their impact. In other words, in winning or losing a case, in causing, you know, a loss or preventing one. And dine maminis, even if they're, it's not betoras, eidos, if they don't have a shame eid. So is this mission about eidos formally, or is it about effectiveness? That's one question. And the second question I mentioned last week is a debate in the Rishonim on Chafei Amud Beis, also really a suffek in the Yerushalmi, and that is, if you have a case of Shavuos Eidos where it's not Ruyim Lahayid, is it not Shavuos Eidos, or it's just not Chayiv? That sounds like a, you know, a very esoteric, you know, distinction. What do I mean? Is it not Shavuos Eidos, or is it just not Chayiv? If it's not Chayiv, it's probably not Shavuos Eidos. Ah. So the nafkamina will be, and this is where it comes up, is if you think that Shavuos Eidos, the case or category of Shavuos Eidos, excludes all things being equal, Shavuos Bitui, in other words, as long as we're focusing on the specifics of Shavuos Eidos, that you can't, you're not chayv two at the same time, and that one essentially eclipses the other. So in theory, you can have a situation where you have a shame or a chalos of Shavuos Eidos, even though you don't have befoal achi of Shavuos Eidos, and that will also exclude Shavuos Bitui. Mashal amad davar domeh, something that I'm sure people are more familiar with, and that is the notion of kamle bedraba mine, but a particular type of kamle bedraba mine. Kamle bedraba mine means that if a person does an action which is both, which triggers both a monetary obligation and, let's say, take it the easiest way, a capital offense at the same time, so what we say is kamle bedraba mine. We only look at the capital case. We don't look at the monetary part. But what's less well known is the famous view, pretty well known still, of Tana de Bechizkiah, who said that chayve misos shogegin are also pturin, right? Which means that if a person committed a capital crime, even though he's not going to be punished for it, because let's say he did it accidentally, nonetheless, the fact is that this capital crime still eclipses the monetary obligation. So what I'm saying is something similar. When the Gemara Rava, at least on Chaf Hamad Beis, as Rashi understood it, says that Shavuos Eidos kind of crowds out Shavuos Bitui. That's in theory you could have said Michayev twice, the Shavuos Eidos, which is a more specialized kind of an obligation, very, very limited and specific even, you know, to edim and to effectiveness and so on and so forth. But at the same time, there's a bigger thing. There's a, you know, broader violation, and that is that he's lying under oath, and that's called shvuas bitui. But the Gemara says, no, we don't think that she'll be chayiv shtayim. So the way Rashi interprets the Gemara, Abaye thinks that befoal, you just, whenever you chayiv, you're only chayiv once, you're not chayiv twice. Maybe you're even chayiv once for both, or, you know, once vibein shnehem, whatever it is. But Rava seems to go further. Rava says, chidishu shechidshu Torah, whenever the shvuas ha'edus, the way Rashi reads it, whenever the shvuas ha'edus, there's no shvuas bitui. So it's an interesting question. What will happen when you have the case of shvuas ha'edus, just like Tana de Bechizkia, you know, in Kamalei Vidraba Minei, even though you don't have a chiyuv shvuas ha'edus? So that's a debate that's really today. The Yerushalmi raises this question regarding two cases, Karov and Eid Echad. The Yerushalmi seems to think that, you know, when it comes to Eid Echad, you'll be Pater Mishvuas Bitui. When it comes to Karov, the Yerushalmi is not sure. The debate between Rashi and the Ramban on Shvuas Avkafeim Adveis is Einan Ru'uyin Lahoid, people like Krovim, Nashim, Psulim, kind of like the Yerushalmi. So it's a very, unless you want to distinguish between Krovim and Psulim, but it's an interesting debate. And there are other cases, other conditions of Shvuas Eidos that are not met. And the question is, does it leave you still with the infrastructure of shvuas ha'edus such that it precludes shvuas bitui? Things like shalom b'fnei bezdin, shalom mipi ha'toveya. Let's say the toveya, I'll explain that later, is not the one who is demanding this, or kivin shehigid shuvan achozer magid, or maybe there isn't a complete hafsid mamon, because maybe there's another kadvedim in the wings. Those are all sorts of other conditions that are a sine qua non for shvuas ha'edus to be chayiv. And the question is, in absence of those, some of them are very core and defining, and if you don't have them, then you have no shvuas ha'edus, and of course you'll have shvuas bitui. And others may be conditions for the chiyuv korban, but even absent those conditions, it's still called a case of shvuas ha'edus. So these are some of the issues about the first requirement. The second requirement is the one I want to zero in on tonight. We started last week, and that is the machlokas Rav Meir and the Chacham. The Mishnah says, "Shelo b'fnei atzmo, shelo b'fnei bezdin, mipi atzmo, mipi acherim, mipi acherim." I'm sorry. Wait a second. B'fnei bezdin, shelo b'fnei bezdin, mipi atzmo. Sorry. Umipi acherim ein chayavim ad shiich bru bahen bebezdin. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Amrim, Bein Mipiatzim, Bein Mipiacherim, Einan Chayavim, Ad Sheichbru Bahen, Bebezdin. So this is what I want to zero in more tonight. Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim argue whether or not there's a difference between two scenarios within Shvuas Ha'edus. The two scenarios being Mipiatzmo, Mipiacherim. A little background, as we've already discussed. The Torah, when it speaks about Shvuas Ha'edus, speaks about the classic case of Mipi Acherim, which is also the most mechudash, the most innovative case. Because the Torah says, Nefesh kisachata v'shama kol ola v'hu eid ora yada im lo yagid v'nasa avono. Which means that this person experienced someone imposing a shvua upon him, v'shama kol ola, meaning another person, right, imposes the shvua, and he lies in response to it. That's Mipi Acherim. So we're going to discuss tonight a little bit more whether there really is a serious... Mostly it seems from the Torah itself, let's say it this way, the case of Shvua Mipi Acherim appears only in Shvuas Ha'edus. Only in Shvuas Ha'edus. Because of the limud, we definitely extend it also to Shvuas HaPikadon, which is the next parak. The question is, what impact does it have, once it leaves the domain of Shvuas Ha'edus? There are three questions. Within Shvuas Ha'edus, are there two types, right? Or the chiddush is that even Mipi Acherim is considered a Shvua, and Kol Shekein Mipi Atzmo, but they're all basically the same. Or if there are differences, are they technical differences? Or are there basically two types of Shuas Ha'edus? That's one of the things we're going to look at tonight. We're not going to do all of it, but we'll do a few things so we can, move on. But that's one question. The next question is within Shuas HaPikadon, which is mostly about Mipiatzmo, because the classic case of Shuas HaPikadon is Mipiatzmo, meaning the person takes the entire Shvua by himself. The Torah, the Gemara, the Torah Shabbat Peh was Bechadesh, that Shuas HaPikadon also has a Mipiacherim. Is the Mipiacherim, just like the first question was, whether the Mipiatzmo of Shuas Ha'edus is like the Mipiacherim of Shuas Ha'edus. The next question is the Mipiacherim of Shuas HaPikadon, like the Mipiacherim of Shuas Ha'edus, or more like the Mipiatzmo of Shuas HaPikadon, if everybody's following me? Yeah? Good. And then the third question is, well, do you want to even go further with this? Is there a Mipiacherim at all, ever, in Shuas Bitui? Right? It seems like the answer to that is no, but it seems also like there's a contradiction in the Mishnah. And we'll see soon, that it's a little more complicated than it appears. Okay? So hold off on that. I'll go through the evidence of each one of those points quickly. So Rav Meir's opinion, we'll get back to this so just for the moment, is that there's a difference even within Shvus Eidos between Mipiatzmo and Mipiacherim with regard to the requirement of Kfira Bebezdin. So let me make it clear for before we even go further. Shvus Bitui, or Shvus Sheker, Shvus Shav, Shvus Sheker, right? They don't require Ruim Lahayit, of course. Typically, they're done mipiatzmo, because the whole idea is, ish ki yafli, it's lo yachel dvaro, it's about sheker, emes and sheker. Usually, that means you're taking the shua. And there's no relevance whether it's done in a bezin or outside of a bezin. Lying, right, or telling the truth has nothing to do with bezin. It does in the context of giving edus, testimony, right, but regular truth and falsehood lying and truth-telling, right, is equal in and out of court. Okay. So, and the same, by the way, is true with regard to Shuas HaPikadon. What is Shuas HaPikadon? Well, again, Shuas HaPikadon is the use of an oath to either steal or to complete the act of stealing. Right? In other words, I am holding on to Reuven's object. And then Reuven, let's say he gave it to me I picked it up as an Aveda, or he gave it to me as a Shomer, and then Reuven comes to me and he says, I'd like my object back, thank you very much. And I say, I don't have it, it was destroyed in an earthquake, and it's not my fault, and I'm lying. That's, I use a Shvua in order to lie in a way that allows me to steal or to keep his, or to try to keep his object. That's Shvus HaPikadon. That's what Shvus HaPikadon is. Now, Shvus HaPikadon, per se, the classic case of Shvus HaPikadon is Mipiatzmo, in the sense that, again, the trial might take court, will take place in a Bezdin, but you're not allowed to steal outside of Bezdin either. If I, Vayigzal Hachanis Miyara Mitzri, if I go and I grab your object, or if I steal into your basement in the middle of the night and steal your object, that is, one is gezel and the other is gneva, right? Typically, gzela and gneva don't take place in a bezdin, right? So, all things being equal, the classic case of shuas bitui and the classic case of shuas apikadon, right, are bein bifnei bezdin, bein shalom bifnei bezdin. So what Rav Meir came along and said was the following interesting idea. Rav Meir says, listen, Shvuas Ha'edus, I'll show you where he gets it from in just a minute, Shvuas Ha'edus, basically, comes from, Shvuas Ha'edus, the classic case, is Mipiachem. And that has to also be, requires a Kfira Bebezdin, because it's all about Edus, and Edus requires the venue, the framework of Bezdin, clearly. But Shvuas Ha'edus Mipiatzmo is derived from Shvuas HaPikadon. And in Shvuas HaPikadon, there's no yichus to a bezdin. Just like in Shvuas Bitui, there's no yichus to a bezdin. Therefore, said Rav Meir, as we'll see in a moment, dun mina umina, meaning if the source of Shavuos Eidus Mepiatzmo is Shavuos HaPikadon, and in Shavuos HaPikadon there's no requirement of a Bezdin, then in Shavuos Eidus Mepiatzmo there's no requirement of a Bezdin either. That's what these words mean. It's a challenging Mishnah to read. It says here, Bifnei Bezdin v'shalom Bifnei Bezdin Mepiatzmo. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, if the Shavuos Eidus takes place Mepiatzmo, it matters not whether the kfira, the lie that took place, the denial took place in or out of Bezdin. Umi piacherim, however, if Shavuos Eidus is going to happen in its classical, the Shama Kalala case, right, then ein chayavin ad shiichbru behem Bezdin. Then you require the venue of a Bezdin, because that's what Shavuos Eidus is all about. Dibra Rabbi Meir. And the Chacham disagree, the Chachamim omrim, Bein mipiatzmo, bein mipiacherim, enan chayavim ad shiyichbru b'hem b'bezdin. The Chachamim said, it doesn't matter that mipiatzmo is derived from Shavuos HaPikadon, which has no yichus of bezdin. In Shavuos HaEidus, where we're applying it, we always care about the bezdin, because Shavuos HaEidus is all about the lie, right, which was a lie of suppressing testimony. And testimony, right, is an Eidus concept. So this argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, which we'll analyze more fully in just a second, seems to touch on two important principles. Principle number two and principle number three, or factor number two and number three. In addition to Ru'i and Lahai, there's a din of Bifnei Bezdin, right? According to the Chachamim, always. Even according to Rav Meir and Mipiacherim. So the factor of Bifnei Bezdin, I think I mentioned, when I was talking about the Bitui, for example, again, there's a debate between Rashi, this way, the Ramban is on Rashi's side in this one, against the Nebuke Yosef. Let's say you have a case of Shavuos Eidus Shalom Bifnei Bezdin, right? Is it going to be Shavuos Bitui? Does it even have a shame of Shavuos Eidus? Right? So that's an interesting question. Either way, the factor of Bezdin is discussed here, and we're going to see more about that in just a minute. The other factor, of course, is this discrepancy or difference between Mipiatzmo and Mipiacherim. This idea that the Chiddush of Shavuos Eidus is that it applies to Mipiacherim. How much, right? Is that it also? Or is that this is the classical case, and anything less may be quite different. Are there two types of Shavuos Eidus? Kind of a Bitui type and an Eidus type? Or are they all one? And if so, how do we explain Mipiatzmo and Mipiache? Oh. Then the final point in the Mishnah is V'chayavin al zdon ha-shvuv al shigasa im zadon ha-edus. The other chiddush of Shavuos HaEidus is that it applies, the korban of it applies in b'mezid. That's true for Shavuos HaPikadon as well. That's very unusual. When the Gemara earlier on Chafei wanted to explain one of the differences between Shavuos HaEidus and Shavuos HaPikadon, it actually invoked for Abaya, Mezid Kishogeg. And then the Rishonim, many of them, invoked it for Rava. And they seem to argue whether it's a Kula or a Chumra. It's a very interesting thing. There's a Tosefta and Perek Dalet, which seems to say that it's both. The Tosefta and Perek Dalet of Shavuos discusses Chomer Shavuos Eidus Mishavuos Bitui, Chomer Shavuos Bitui Mishavuos Eidus. So one of the Chumras of Shavuos Eidus over Shavuos Bitui is that its Mezid gets a Korban. Sounds like a chomer, right? Then when they get to the Shavuos HaPikadon, chomer Shavuos Bitui Mishavuos HaEidus, that it's mezid, gets malchus. So when you think about it, you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? I mean, either you're going to get malchus or you're going to get a korban. So it's not a chomer, right, in both of those respects. Unless maybe that isn't the right way to look at it, right? And there are two other ways to look at it. One is that maybe it could have been both. So each one has a chumra. The korban chumra is Shavuos HaEidus's. The malchus chumra is Shavuos Bitui's. If you assume that, in theory, it could have had both. The other way is that what we're really trying to say is, on one level, of course, it's a kula to say that Mezid only gets a korban, because the korban is more kal than the malchus. But maybe what the Tosefta had in mind, and the Rambam and the Rach, who inserted in the Gemara, also seem to have to say this, unlike Tosas on Mem Testament Base, which says that Mezid is a Kula. I'm sorry, Mezid Korban is a Kula. But maybe what they had in mind was that even B'Shogeg is kind of like B'Mezid, and that's why B'Mezid is even B'Korban. So, in other words, the mazid being subject to korban, like the shogeg, isn't a chumrah on the mazid, it's a chumrah on the shogeg. Okay, I'll try to elaborate what that means a little bit more. So this is a very interesting and important problem. I should mention that the Rimigash on Chof Hayomid Beis has a very radical view. The Rimigash says, in the end of the Gemara there, when the Gemara talk about the relationship between Shuas Bitui and Shuas Eidos, the way the Rimigash reads the Gemara, very shocking, is that Lahalacha, every case of Shogeg and Shuas Eidos, Yerchai Bishum Bitui. Right, so what is the Parsha of Shuas Eidos about? Mezid. Korban. What he doesn't add, what he doesn't explain, is what about Mipi Acherib in Shogeg? So that's something we'll get back to. Anyway, this is the Mishnah. The Mishnah concludes, Ein chayavin al shigasa, if it's a real shogeg, meaning he really didn't know Eidos, or he had amnesia, then he's not chayav even a korban. Umayin chayavin, when he is chayav, al zodo nashua, korban olav yerv. Fine. Anyways, so let's go now and discuss Rabbeinu and the Chachamim and expand
shogeg,
on...
In shogeg, there's no korban?
There is. Only if it's a pure shogeg, there's no korban. Meaning if he, when he said he didn't know Eidos, right, he wasn't lying, right, he thought he was telling the truth, then there's no korban. If he thought it was okay to lie, that shogeg, then it's chayv korban. That's
it. Chayv korban in both cases.
Why is that called a shogeg?
What do you mean?
You're saying he's
chayiv
in both cases?
No. If he's amazed, or if his shgaga is that he doesn't know that he's not allowed to lie, then he's chayiv korban. If his shogeg is that he thinks he doesn't know testimony, like he had a memory, whatever, then he's not chayiv korban. Because he really told the truth when he told it. Unless, and here's a debate among the Rishonim, let's say he said... we never knew testimony, as opposed to saying we don't know your testimony. That's an interesting case. We'll talk about it. Or let's say we don't know we don't know testimony. But had they thought about it a little more, try to jog their memory, right? That they could have come up with it. What about that? That's an interesting case. Both those we'll talk about. Okay. Anyway, this machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim, whether or not mi piaxmo requires bezdin, is discussed in the Gemara. I wanted just to get it on the record first, and then we're going to. The Gemara says bifnei bezdin shlo bifnei bezdin. This is lamed aleph amud aleph. Okay, otherwise known as 31a. Towards the bottom of the page, you'll see two dots. Everybody have it?
Yep.
It's 3, 6. Like 8 lines up from the bottom of the page. Last word on the line. Okay. Bifnei bezim shalom bifnei bezim v'chulei. The Gemara says, b'mai kamifligi. What is the basis of Rav Meir and the Chachamim's argument? Says the Gemara, amru rabbanan kamedra papa. Bedun mino mina, bedun mino, v'uki bi'atra kamifligi. It's a issue that comes up in more than one place. And that issue is whether we say dun mino mina or dun mino v'uki bi'atra. What is dun mina mina? What is dun mina v'yoke v'yatri? The point here is that everybody agrees there's a gzera shava here. Hekesh gzera shava, something like. Meaning, there's something that equates shuas eidos and shuas bitui with regard to mipiatsu. The question is, when you have a gzera shava, but you have, let's call it, an immigration issue. Okay, this is a classic immigration issue. Meaning, you're taking... a certain halacha, right, from the outside, and you're bringing it in. You're taking it from one context, one cultural context, or one legal context, and you're bringing it into another. So can you just bring it lock, must you bring it lock, stock, and barrel? Right? Can you bring it lock, stock, and barrel? How much impact does its original, nurturing, have? Maybe to the point that you can't get rid of it or shouldn't get rid of it. It's defining. Or maybe the new context is what's defining. Right? And that's why I'm only half facetiously calling it the immigration problem. Right? Anytime, whether it's law or people or anything, that you immigrate, right? You're talking about, you know, absorbing, right? How much are you, you know, how much are you taking, you know?
How much baggage do you bring along?
How much are you bringing along, baggage, or whether it's good or bad? I mean, that's the, each case is its own assessment. And how much is there an absorption? Is there a melting pot absorption right into the new culture, a new framework, or not? That's essentially what is going on here. So what we mean by that is, let's elaborate for a minute, and I just want to make a point. The reason I'm calling it that is because that's really what it is. But I'm also calling it that because I want to make a point about it, that there's also an intellectual or a conceptual or a legal issue in addition to being a limbud issue, as I'll explain. But my kamiflingi, Amravana kamedra, papa duminom mina. Duminom mina means you take it lock, stock, and barrel. This is what it is. You want it, you take it. Fully. The full integrity of what it was. It retain its retention of its original authentic, you know, status is full. Or what duminom ukibiatra means, the melting pot. You absorb it into its new framework, which redefines it. Correct? Right? You have somebody, an immigrant, you know, does he come in with all his customs and does he change his language and his dress and loshinu shemam, loshinu lashonam, right? The Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, you know, the good part was that they were a little bit dun mina, you know, umina. And the bad part was that there was a little bit too much dun mina v'ukibiyatra, you know, or at least that's the issue. Correct? Same thing in any culture that absorbs anything or one from another framework. Oh, okay. So dun mina minav, dun mina biukubiatra. Be'er savar, dun mina umina. And it's mi pikadon. Ma pikadon mujba mi piatzmo chayiv. How do we know mi piatzmo in shuas edas? The pasuk only speaks about mi piacherit. The answer is we derive it. Where do we derive it from? So Rashi says, Torah says, nefesh ki secheta. Look at Rashi. Rameir Sovar Dun Mino Mino, Le Kamon, Yalfinan Shuas Edis Mixer Shavu, De Techta Techta Mishuas Apikadon, Le Mujma Mipiatzmo, De Xiva Bishuas Apikadon, Loxiva Bishuas Apikadon, Veloxiva Bishuas Edis. Right, Rashi provides the background. Mipiatzmo doesn't exist in Edis. We only know it's Sechata Sechata from Pikadon. And now the question is, what will we say? Since we derive it from Pikadon, Af Edis Mujma Mipiatzmo Chayiv, that's the Dun mina, that's the Xerishava. Umina, that means the lock, stock, and barrel retention. Ma pikadon, bein bebezin, bein shalom bebezin, afedus bein bebezin, bein shalom bebezin. I mean, we're taking it from pikadon, but we're taking it with the full, as it retains its you know, initial integrity. Meaning, shua bepiatzmo, even an edus, since it's derived from pikadon, has no yichus in bezin. Which is another way of saying, if you ask me, that it, while the content of the test of the shvua is about edus, fundamentally, right, it's edus sheker, because that's what shvua's pay of shvua's apikadon is per se, bitui. Rabbanan savri dun mina v'uki biatra. Right, the rabbanan are melting pot people, absorption people, right? Ma pikadon. On the dun mina part, they agree, meaning that the source is mi piatzmo is shuas apikado. But ukibiatra ma mujvam piacherim bebezin in shalom bebezin lo af mujvam mi piatzmo bebezin in shalom bebezin lo. But there's no such thing that it's in the character or nature of shuas edus that it's an issue about edus, and therefore it's an issue which requires the venue. A bezdin. Okay? Then the Gemara goes on to say, Amalu Rab Papa, Imi Pikadon Gamri La Rabbanan Kulam Lo Pligi Didun Miwavi Udun Mino Mina. If it really was based on Gzera Shava, then everybody would agree with the Rabbanan that, right? I'm sorry, everybody would agree that Dun Mina Umina, like everybody would agree with Rabbeim. Elahainu Tamad Rabbanan Demais Lo Bekabachomer. They learn from Kavachomer. Ma mi piacherim chayiv, mi piatzmo lo kol shekein. They say, no, the real point is that Chuas Eidos, the Torah speaks about mi piacherim, Right? Mipi Acherim is much more mechudash. If I take on my own initiative, you know, and I fully articulate the Shvua, then I'm more likely to be chayiv than if I just respond to the imposed words of a Shvua, right, that were uttered by someone else. So you don't need a gzera shava. It's a kal v'chomer. So really the source of mi piatzmo is from mi piacherim. They're both internal to shvuas ha'edus, and since they're internal to shvuas ha'edus, they both require bezdin. Ma mujim piacherim be bezdin, in shalom bezdin lo, af mujim piatzmo b'fnei bezdin, in shalom b'fnei bezdin lo. Says the Gemara, amal rabbana l'rapapa, mi matzis amris t'lab b'dun mino, mino pligi. Can you really think that the argument isn't about dun mino babuka ukibiatre? After all, hatnan, if you look at the Mishnah in Shvuas HaPikadon, this part is quoted here, so we don't have to look, but it's in the Mishnah there. The Mishnah in Shvuas HaPikadon reads as follows, right? It says, Shvuas HaPikadon, no heges, it's patterned after our Mishnah, Shvuas HaPikadon no heges, banashim, ubanashim, b'chokim, b'krobim, b'ksherim, b'psulim. Why? Because again, Shvuas HaPikadon isn't about Eidos. It doesn't matter whether it's what gender, it doesn't matter if they're Krovim, it doesn't matter if they're Psulim. It's not about Eidos. It's about basic question of rights. It's about theft. Right? Any person who steals from any other person, it doesn't matter if he's his relative, if he's male, he's female, it's all irrelevant. That's all the same. And it's also the same, Bifnei Bezdin, Vishalom, Bifnei Bezdin. Because as I said before, the case may be tried in Bezdin, but the act of gezel is not limited to a bezdin. Gezel doesn't take place in bezdin, right? The legal act of, or the illegal act of gezel and geneva, right? Then the Mishnah goes on to say, bifnei bezdin v'shalom bifnei bezdin mi piatzmo. Ah, if it's for some pikadon mi piatzmo, it doesn't need a bezdin. But mi piacherim enochai v'chiyich barba bebezdin divrei Rabbi Meir. Ha ha, the same Rabbi Meir who says here that mi piatzmo doesn't require a bezin in Shvuas Eidos, in the Mishnah, in Shvuas HaPikadon says that mi piacherim of Shvuas HaPikadon does require a bezin. Why? Because that's the flip side of dun mina, umina. As I'll explain in just 1 second. The Chachamim omrim, bein mi piatzmo, bein piacherim, kivin shekafar bo, chayiv. Right? The Chachamim say in both cases, whether it's Mipiatzum or Piacherim and Shvus and Pikadon, you don't need a Bezdin. In other words, what is the Gemara introducing? That the Machlokas Rameir and the Chachamim and Shvus Eidos regarding Mipiatzmo has a total parallel regarding Mipiacherim and Shvus and Pikadon. Just like in Shvus Eidos, Rab Meir thinks, right, that Mipiatzmo doesn't require a Bezdin, so too, in Shvuas HaPikadon, Rab Meir thinks that Mipiacherim does require a Bezdin. Right? So the Gemara follows up on this. The Gemara says, Mujva Mipiacherim Bipikadon Minolahu L'Rabbanan Dechayiv. How do we know that Mujva Mipiacherim is Chayiv in Shvuas HaPikadon? Lav Degamri Lamiedos? Isn't that derived from Shvuas HaEdos? Because the Torah only in Shvuas HaEdos ever speaks about Mipiacherim. Ushma mina, bedun mina, umina, pligi. Meaning, it's the same argument. The Chachamim say in both cases that the din, the immigrant, is absorbed. Meaning, mi piatzmo in Eidos needs a bezdin, mi piacherim in Shvuas HaPikadon doesn't. Because it's the dominant, it's the absorbing culture, let's say, which is koveya. And in both cases, Rabbi Meir says, no, dun mina umina, not dun mina vi ukabiatra. Meaning, it comes from, mi piatzmo comes from Eidos, it always requires a bezdin. Mi piacherim comes from, I'm sorry,
no.
Mi piacherim comes from Eidos, it always requires a bezdin. Mi piatzmo comes from Pikadon, it never requires a bezdin. That's what we see. Now so the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Me'ahi in, me'ha leka lamash mimina. That's like a little bit of a, you know, okay, you're right, but, you know, not because of the way you argued it, only because of that last raya. Okay. So in terms of debating points, the Gemara says, you know, that it wasn't, it was a closer debate. Fine. This is the Shakavatari. So the point I just want to make is as follows. You could then say that the Machlokas Rameir and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, and the equal Machlokas Rameir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah and Shvut Safikadon, the opposite or parallel opposite argument, you could say, it's Machlokas about Drashos. If you look on the side of the Gemara here on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, and the before Gemara first quotes, Dun Mino, Mino, Dun Mino, Yukubiatra, it says Yibamos, Mem Chesod Beis, Bavakama, Chafayim and Beis, Sanhedrin Ayinayim and Beis, Vachim, Tzadi Aleph and Beis, Menachos, Chulin, Nida. We're not going to look them up, don't worry. What is all that? Right, those are other places in Shas where we find this discussion or argument of Dun Mino, Mino, Dun Mino, Yukubiatra. So one could have said, there's a machlokas Rameir v'chachamim. There's two nekudos machlokas, two points of argument. One in Shvut Safikadon, one in Shvut Eidos. And it's part of a limud thing. And to some extent, that is certainly true. The Masoras HaShas citations prove it. And the way the Gemara presents it prove it. However, if you look at all these cases, which we're not going to do, right, there are some discrepancies. And B, how could there not be discrepancies? Why? Because when you think about it, I mean, I presented it again in, you know, kind of a dramatic way. You know, absorption, retention, you know, the classic immigration problem. It's true. That in itself would be a good reason. But the other reason that I introduced it that way is because I'm trying to make a point, and that is, nobody logically can always hold Dun Mino Mina, or always hold Dun Mino Vi Ukabiatra. Just like in immigration policy, you can never ever, you know, argue, you know, fully, you know, that the melting pot or absorption, absolute absorption, is always the best policy, or that absolute retention is the best policy. Meaning, of course, it depends on what we're talking about. Are we talking about, you know, core identities, core principles, or are we talking about more peripheral things? I mean, it's clear that sometimes it'll be inappropriate to say dun mina umina because, you know, if lo shinu esmal busham, you know. So, you know, if you used to live in the North Pole, you know, and now you're coming to live in what's a hot place aside from Miami? What?
Equatorial Africa.
So you're going to say dun mina, you know. I'm just giving you an example. You know, dun mina mina, and that's like, you know, that's an admirable thing. So even the same level of tznius, you know, maybe the symbols of whatever your dress, you know, you get the idea. You know, lo shinu es lashonam. It's good to know Yiddish, but you probably also should know some of the host language or the country, too, right? And what's that? In Mitzrayim, they spoke Yiddish or not?
No, in Williamsburg, they don't speak English.
What? In Williamsburg. Right, so that, most of us, I think, here probably think that that's a bit of a problem. So, meaning, in the end of the day, dun mino mino dun mino bi uka bi atra is a default position. Right, it does take a stand. It's not neutral, but what I'm saying is it's not absolute, and it's contingent partly on how we look at the factors involved. So that, for example, how do we look at Mipi Acherim, and how do we look at the role of Bezin? The more we think that Mipi Acherim, right, can turn into a real Shvuah. Right, so it isn't so terrible that we're learning from Shvuas Eidos. Let me say it this way. Shvuas Eidos and Shvuas HaPikadon share something in common. We'll talk about Shvuas Bitui from Piacherim in just a minute. In that, in a way that doesn't have to be such a radical equation. Meaning, typically, in a regular Shvuas Bitui, we would be reluctant to say, and some people think that we absolutely cannot say, I'm just trying to be careful because we'll see some mixed evidence, there's no shuas bitui mi piacherim, no shuas shav mi piacherim, because it's all about the shvua, number one, And because the subject matter, typically, of Shvuas Shavar, Shvuas Bitui, is highly individualistic and personal, therefore, how could I, Reuven, impose a Shvuah on Shimon? This is Shimon's Shvuah. Either he articulated it or not. Right? I'm not talking about Amen, Kemotzi Shvuah Mipiv, Dido. That's just a mechanism. However, in Shvuas Ha'edus, wiser Mipi Acherim, because we spent like two or three shiurim talking about the Chi of Haggadah. Right? It isn't a vacuum. And it's not just personal. When he comes to court, and I say to when the two people come to court, and I say to them, you know, guys, you know testimony that's affecting my case. I demand that you come and you share it, that you be forthcoming. Right? So the point is, I have the right to impose on them, right? Number one, I have the right to demand that they come. The same reason that I have a right to demand they come, you might argue this is tziruf, there's something that connects us, meaning my words that they are ignoring or that they are denying. If I say, you know, in a language of Shua, so you guys are saying, you know, in a language of Shua, maybe B'Shem Hashem, according to the Rambam, whatever, you know, that you don't know testimony that will help in this case. And the guy said, that's exactly what we're saying. We do not. Even though they never say the word Shua, they never say the word Shem Hashem. So the point may be that in the context of something where there's no tziruf, where there's no obligation to the other party, so what does his words have to do with me? Even if I'm responding. Unless it's ditto. But in Shvuas Eidos, where he does owe me, he owes me the truth because he owes the system, or me, or both, the truth. And in the case of Shvuas Abikaron as well, this man, I can impose on him a Shvua, and the words of my Shvua may be mitzuref to him, because he stole my object. Right? He picked it up, and now he's lying about it, or he was given it as a pikadon, and he's lying about it, or he just stole it, and he doesn't want to admit it. So I have the ability. So one way to look at the problem of mujva mipi acherim comes from the world of Shvuas Eidos. No coincidence, because there, right, the idea that I have the right to demand from him that he be forthcoming for me is perfectly clear. That's a civic obligation to me, to the system, both, etc. Now, one way to look at it is dun mina. Right? But v'uki biatra. Meaning what we see from Shvuas Eidos is that when there's this kind of, you know, more complex relationship, as there is in another way, but in a parallel way in Shvuas HaPikadon and Gezel, then what we'll say is that, oh, maybe that's all we're saying, that mujba or mashbia is kinishba. The words, the phrase mashbia is kinishba is a phrase that appears in the Yerushalmi. I should have put it on the sheets, but I didn't. In the end of the third parak of Shavuos, we'll talk about it. It also appears in the Milchamos, in the Ramban, on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. I'll explain what I mean by that. Okay. On the other hand, the other way to look at it is that Shavuos Ha'edus is not so much a Shavua as much as it is a Derech Shavua way to violate your Chiyuv Haggadas Eidos. Right? As I made the point already, that both the dinim of Shvuas Eidos and the dinim of Shvuas HaPikadon, in part, are dealt with by the Rambam in two distinct places. Right? The dinim of Shvuas Eidos are dealt with mostly in Hilchos Shvuos, but also somewhat in Hilchos Eidos. The dinim of Shvuas HaPikadon are dealt with mostly in Hilchos Shvuos, but also somewhat in Hilchos Gzeilah. But the point may be, maybe the din of Shvuas Ha'edus mipi acherim is a result of the fact that al pidin, the dominant factor, isn't the Shvua part. Because if we what? This is what the Rajba basically said in Bava Kama, which we see. Which is, if it was really the Shvua part alone, then it wouldn't work mipi acherim, because he doesn't articulate those words. Now, if that's the case, right? So that's a very Shvuas Ha'edus kind of halacha. Right? It's not just a mitzaref to expand the hagdara of nishba. So now, the question is, what happens when that gets translated over or absorbed into Shvuas HaPikadon? Or what happens when the piatzmo, which doesn't have that emphasis, that it's all about Besdin and Eidus and so on. What happens when that gets absorbed into Shavuos Eidus? So, what I'm trying to say basically is the Gemara ties Rav Meir and the Chachamim to Limudim. Dun minov, which is a Shas argument. And what I'm trying to explain is that as much as that is true, there is also an additional perspective that is necessary here. And that is to try to figure out how much of a Kiddush Mipi Acherim is, and how much Bifnei Besdin is critical in Shavuos Eidus. Those are two factors that we can't ignore alongside with, right, the Limud question of Dumino Vyokabiyatra. Okay. So having said that, who do we passing like? Rav Meir or the Chachamim? We passing like the Chachamim. Now, once we passing like the Chachamim, I'm going to drop the Shavuos HaBikarim part for the moment. Let's just stick with Shavuos HaEidus. That's hard enough. That means in Shavuos HaEidus, you always need Kfira BeBezdin, no matter whether we're dealing with Mipi Acherim, which is the classic case, or Mipi Atzmon. So one could have said that by paskening like the Chachamim, what we're saying is that, you know, Mipi Atzmon and Mipi Acherim are not two types of Shavuos HaEidus, right? They merge into one. And there are no nafkaminas between Mipi Atzmon and Mipi Acherim. Dun mina, v'yukabiatra, and now they're equal in every way. Or maybe that's not what we're saying. Maybe what we're saying is, we say dun mina v'ukibiatra when it comes to the need for kfira b'fnei bezdin, because, like this part I basically just said, because that's so defining, that's so much a part of what Shavuos Eidus really is, the whole Eidus part would be undone, right? It would be compromised, its integrity would be jettisoned if we were to drop the requirement of bezdin. But that doesn't mean that there isn't something true about what Rav Meir says, namely, that Mipi Atzmo in Shavuos Eidus, which comes from Shavuos HaPikadon, is more oriented towards the Mechayev of Shavua, whereas Mipi Acherim, as the Rashba said, is much more oriented towards Hefsed Mamon Aidei Kvishas Eidus, and therefore we should be looking for other Nafkamina, even though we paskin like the Chachamim. Right? Everybody with me so far? So that's what we should be doing right now. We should be looking for nafkamina. So I think we already discussed it. We did discuss one, the Shem Hashem. Right? Last week we discussed the Ran in the Darim. Well, we noted it again. I don't want to go through the whole thing, just to mention it, and then we'll move to the next one. There's a debate in the Rishonim, do you need Shem Hashem Bishvua or not? Right? The Rambam Shita is, we saw it in the sheets last week, that all the different Shavuos, Shavuos Shav, Shavuos Shit, Shavuos Bitui, Shavuos Ha'edus, Shavuos HaPikadon, they all require Shem Hashem. That's the Rambam Shita. Where did he get it from? By the way, it's fascinating. Where does it come from? In the Gemara, Shavuos Ha'edus. I mean, the Rishonim pretty much Pe'achod say that the strongest Gemaras, maybe the only Gemaras, definitely the strongest Gemaras, are the Gemara in the end of Perek Shavuos Ha'edus, Lamed Hei Omed Aleph, Lamed Hei Omed Vav, Rabbi Chanina, and so a din in Shavuos Ha'edus is assumed to be, that already is interesting, right? Is assumed to be the norm of all Shavuos. And according to the Ram, that's the Halacha. The Ram says it very clearly in Hilchos Shavuos, Perek Beis, Halacha, what is it? Aleph. Perek Beis, Halacha, Beis. Second. Get it back on the record. Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Echad Anishbau Shashbi Acher B'Shem HaMeyuchad O Echad Emel HaKinuyim. This is page 1. Kion Shanishbau B'Shashbi Shashmo Chanun Mishashmo Rachum Mishashmo Erech HaPayim Kiyosu V'Chaloshan Or Ezeh Shua Gemura V'Chein Ola V'Oror Shua Fushiyaz Kiyo Shem El HaShemos O Kinu Min HaKinuyim Ketzad Kegon Shomer Ola O Oror Hashem O Lemishashmo Chanun The Ravid disagrees. If you look at Halacha Gimel, the Ravid says, "Lo In the scavenger, you mean the small abore, shvuahi. Bahani mila carbon, behena mila bayachel, abalamalkus bin unshamed of sieve, losisa shema shemel kachalashav, shua shaker nami, losisimish kudashav. Big kiddush of the Ravid. The Ravid basically says that shvuasa edus, that's also fascinating place to draw the line. Shvuasa edus and shvuasa pikadon. Shvuasa edus, because that's where the sources are. Shvuasa pikadon, it doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere, this Xer Shava. We learn mipiatzmo, mipiachem from each other through there. Now we're learning through there Shem Hashem. Wow, right? So it's these two, says the Ravid, but not the others, not Shvuas Shava, not Shvuas Bitui. Except with regard to the Malkus, maybe that's because of Zilzul Shem Hashem, right? So you need Shem Hashem. But the Sheker part, which is what's responsible for the Korban, right, applies even without Shem Hashem. That's the Ravid. The Ran and the Ramban say nothing, not in Shuas Edus. They agree. The Gemara seems to say Shuas Edus requires a shame. Rav Kanina, we don't pass in that way. Okay. Rabbeinu Tam, however, came up with the really interesting idea that, in theory, you can say only Shuas Edus, right? The Ravid. Anyways, the Rabbeinu Tam came up with the idea that mipiacherim requires Shem Hashem, and mipiatzmo does not. Right? The Ran, we talked about last week, in the Darim, says, Pekadosh Eich Yomar Davar Zeh. After all, what about Sota? Right? Sota is, that's the Raya that Rabbeinu Tam brings. Sota's V'omar Ha'isha Amein. Amen, and I'll say Shem Hashem. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. You see, it's mipiacherim, and it requires Shem Hashem. So the Ran says, I don't get it. How could he say it? That's not mipiacherim, that's mipiatzmo. Because the Gemara actually, on Chavtesu Beis, quotes Sota, and also on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara quotes Sota, to prove that Aona Amen Achar Shvua, or that you know, Amen Bo Shvua, that's considered mipiatzmo. So I mentioned last week the Nitziv's very interesting answer. The Nitziv says it's true that there's mipiatzmo in the Amen of Sota, but there's also mipiacherim because it's vihishbia hakohen. And he assumes that, as a Davar Pashut, that if there were to be such a scenario where the Sota, instead of responding to the Kohen, just, you know, took the initiative and took a shua, that would not be chalos shua sota. Yeah.
Yes, I wondered about that. I think last week you kind of seemed to take that for granted, that that's an assumption that...
Then it simply takes that for granted.
Yeah. It's not altogether compelling. I mean,
except the psukim do say the...
Sukkim say it as
right, 100%. You could say, oh, culture came. Like the Gemara said, it was a Hava Mina and Laman Aleph on the base that we just read. Right. I don't think it's explicit in the Gemara. No, you're right. But the Nitziv understood it that way. Anyways, okay. So again, the bigger question that arises is, how can you make a distinction between Piazza and Piacherim when we paskin like Rabbanan? The answer is, did the Rabbanan turn their back on any chiluk between the piatzmo and piacherim? Or did they just say that the requirement of lifnei bezdin and shvuas ha'edos is a necessary melting pot absorption, you know, but other things are retentive? Right? So that's one. The second one is much closer to home. And that is, if you look at the Rambam in the beginning of Perek Tes of Hilchos, Shavuos. which is page 2?
Yeah.
9? Hatavea Edov Lahoyed Lozen. You have to read this, these Rambams, the first ones, with a mic, you know, with a microscope or magnifying glass. What? Tesal. Hatovea Edov Lahoyed Lo Edos. She is Chayev Anitva Beedus on the Vada. Right? If the you want to demand that Edom come and testify what they know to the Nitva, and only they, Beidus and Levada, meaning only their Eidos is going to do the trick. There's no other Eidos out there. We'll discuss that. Litein l'toveya zeh momen ha-metaltel. You know, in order for him to win this case, which is not about karka, but metaltelin, we'll talk about that too. Every word in the Rambam, as usual, is measured. Ve'kofru be'edusan, right? And the two Edom lied about it. Vindishbu. And they didn't just lie, but they lied and they swore falsely. Bain shenishbu'u bebezdin, bain shenishbu'u chutz lebezdin, hare elu chayavin mishum shvuas ha'edus, whether they took the shvua in or out of bezdin, they're going to be chayav shvuas ha'edus, sharei hifsidu mamon bekfirasa, as long as the kfira took place in bezdin. V'chein, imish bi'am batoveya b'kafir bo, afa pishalo nishbu, hein v'lo anu amen, achar shvuaso, kivin shekafru arelu chayavim. What's this v'chein? Imish bi'am batoveya b'kafir bo, if they were asked to swear and they lied, afa pishalo nishbu, hein v'lo anu amen, even though they weren't, it was mipiacherim, not mipiatzmo, right? Kivin shekafru arelu chayavim, v'hushi yashbiim bebezdin. Have to scratch your head. What?
Yeah, the first one is the second line.
Right. The answer is, if you put them all together, what the Rambam is saying here is something very remarkable, and that is, we paskin like the Chachamim. Therefore, you always need bein piatzum, bein piacherim, you need kfir bebezdin. But do you need shvua bebezdin? The answer is, if it's mi piatzmo, you do not need shvua bebezdin. That was the first lines. But if it's mipiacherim, namely there's no amen, and there's no mipiatzmo, then it has to be that the shvua is dafka bebezdin. See it? That's what I say. You have to read it a few times.
No, bein shenishbu bebezdin, bein shenishbu chutz lebezdin.
Right.
That's
if it's that's
shvua.
That's mipiatzmo.
Right.
That's in a case of mipiatzmo.
Right.
But if it's then in the end the chain image be about tovei v'kafru afa b'shalon ishbu hein v'lo anu amen meaning mipiacherim kivin shekafru harei lechayavin v'husha being the best. You have to read it a few times. It's not right. Meaning he contradicts himself seemingly by saying in the reisha that you don't have to have the shvua bebezdin as long as you have the kfir of bebezdin, correct? And then the sefer says you need the kfir and the shvua bebezdin. But if you look very, very closely, it's clearer in the other Rambams as we'll go forward. They reinforce each other. What it ends up being is it's the difference between piatzmo and piacherim. But if you look at halacha base.
Before you look at halacha base, why is it only the case that Tovera of Lardlo Edishi's Kaiba is neat from Vedas? How about if he's Tovera Edom that they should testify in his behalf that he's not Kaib?
Again? Tovera Edom Lardlo Edis.
She's Kaib Hanitva. In other words, his opponent is Chayim.
The Toveya.
Why can't it be a case where he's mashpia them that it's they should.
Either way, it doesn't really matter. I mean, whoever you know.
Is that what he says?
And I mean, the consequence is Chayim Mamo. That's all we really care about. So Eino Edom. Look at halacha base. Eino Edom Chayavim b'shuas Edus atyichbru beidusan bebezdin. Right. The kfira always has to be bebezdin. Why? Because we pass it like the Chachamim. Bein shenishbu'u, right? O hishbiyan bebezdin. Bein shenishbu'u, o shishbiyan chutz lebezdin. Right? Va'kfira bebezdin bilvad. Shenemrim lo yagid v'nasav v'noshi yagid v'yo'il. Right? Shem lo yagid, sham yitchayev. Now.
Would have been easier if he would have said this lashon and
not. Yeah. Now look at Tes Yud. Tes Yud is actually clearer. But see, keep saying it. Look at Tesyud. V'chein amamer le'edim bo'u ve'he'idu li'she'esh li'mana bi'ad ploni. Come testify that somebody owes me money. Listen to this, it's also confusing a little bit. Omad bebeis haknesses. He gets up in shul, v'yishbiach kol mi sheyodeh lo edus, anybody who knows testimony for me, yavo v'yoid v'lo bo v'lo yidu, harei l'chayav. Right? Shaharei tavan techila. V'hu sheyu az bebeis haknesses v'yishom bezden. This kfir is not going to work unless it's bezden. Abel moha yu bifnei bezden, im anu amen, which is what? Mi piatzmo, right? Without a bezden. Chayavim bishvua sa'edus kishe yikfru beidusam bebezden. Right? If they ultimately go to bezden and do the kfir, even though the shvua was chutz the bezden, that's in a case where they were what? If they did be piatzmo. Vim lo anu amen, meaning it's mi piacherim, Einan chayavin, even though later they go to Bezdin, because they didn't do the shvua in Bezdin. Says the Ravid, Omer Avram, Hamachaber hazeh shana mishnaso kirabi meir. Right? It's a terrific Ravid and a not terrific Ravid. If you take it literally, it's a not terrific Ravid, because the Rambam didn't paskin like a meir. He does say that you always need kfira, but what the Ravid deep, more in a subtle way is saying is, like, what kind of nonsense is this? You know, once you pasken like the Chachamim, why are you making distinctions in the Shvua between the two? So he's basically saying, HaMechaber Zeh Shonim Mishnasa Krav Meir. Vein Alocha Kemoso, Ela Beim Piatzo, Beim Piachayim, Ena Chayom Ad Sheyachum Bebezen. The Ode, that's a little bit of the tricky part. Bein Rav Meir, Bein Rabbanim, Matzor Hashiya Bezen, Bebez HaKnesses, Beshas HaShvua, Halo Ein Makpidin Al HaShvua Beizem Makum Shetia, Bein Makpidin El Al HaKvira. The va'od isn't really a va'od, it's really the main point. Meaning, there's no reason to think that we ever care where the shvua takes place. We should only care, but always care, where the kfira took place. Right? And that's Rav Meir and the Chachamim. What did he mean, what is Rav Meir and the Chachamim? The Ravid was very savvy. He understood the Rambam wasn't really paskening like, I think, like Rav Meir. What he meant was, this is a Rav Meir-esque psak. Right? And if you paskin like the Chachamim, there's no reason eating it. Why? Because once you think there's no reason to be mechalik where the Shavua is, all that remains is Rav Meir and the Chachamim? Or what he really means to say is, maybe there would have been a reason, but maybe the argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is a bigger argument. Namely, it's about dun mino mino dun mino biyuk biatra, and as far as that is concerned, right, there shouldn't be a difference. Right? Or, forget about dun mino v'yauka biatra on a limud level, on a conceptual level. Meaning, in the end of the day, what we're saying is that mipiatsu and mipiacherim are the same. That's what the Chachamim meant. And the Rambam will tell you, they didn't say it was the same. They said, vis-a-vis kfira bebezdin, which is such a core requirement, that is non-negotiable. That's always going to be ukibiatra. It doesn't mean that there are no other differences and that there aren't even two tracks. I mean, the Rashba thinks there are two tracks. Right? It's interesting. On Daf Chafhei, Omid Beis. Turn to Chafhei Omid Beis just for a second. I keep referring to that Gemara about Shua speech. I think we read a little bit of it last time. Right, the main thrust of the Gemara, I'm not going to go into the whole thing now because it's just not smart to do it now. The main thrust of the Gemara there is, the Gemara is asking, starts for a different reason, but basically the Gemara is asking, what do you need the whole parsha of Shavuos Eidos for? Every Shavuos Eidos is a lie. Every lie is covered by Shavuos Bitui. So what do we need this whole thing?
Actually, the lashon of the Rambam suggests that it's not a lie. They're just simply remaining silent. I thought that...
Well, it's considered a lie because it was a tviya to begin with and therefore it's implied. But we'll talk about it. We'll talk about that. In mipiacherim, some of the mipiacherim. Maybe it isn't technically a lie. But we'll talk about cases like that, including that. So the Gemara basically wants to know, what do we need Shavuos Eidos for? Every Shavuos Eidos is a Shavuos Bitui. In the end, partly the Gemara get for Abaya, the Gemara gave the answer, right, that the Chiddush is Mezid Kishogeg in Korban. Right? Here, let's look at this line just for one second. Here's the Gemara's question. The Gemara asks, Bishlam of the Shmuel, this is four lines down. The Amar Milsa de Leisa Bala Bolo Machaiva Lishava Lahaki Afgarach Mana Lishua Sages Bachal Shua's Bitoy. Again, the details are not important. I don't want to go into the details right now. Meaning, according to a certain view, we can understand what the Parsha of Shua Sages adds. It plugs in some holes. There are some cases that would be different. El Rav, Lamai Hilkasa Afgarach Mana. Why did the Torah create such a Parsha? It's always Shua's Bitoy. Right? So the Gemara originally says, Amru Rabbanu Kamed Abaye Lechiyuli Tarti. Originally thought, oh, you'll be chayv twice. Amalu Tarti Lomati Samritu. Tanya Laachas Mehila Laachas Atam Bechayvo Yatam Bechayvo Shtayim. Then the Gemara says, Labaye Mai Hilkasa Afkarach. So what is the reason we have this parsha? So the answer is Bekula Nemra Benelam Kanlo Nemra Benelam Lechayv Mezik Keshogeg. That's what I was referring to before. And then Rava says a little bit different. Yatsa Lechadesh. Fine. So Tosis here says, the bottom Tosis on the page, L'chaivo al-mezik ha-shogei. Tosis says, Havimot le-meimar, L'chaivo afilu mujba mi-pi acherim b'lo ani asamein, ma-she'en kem b'shuas bitui. Meaning, Tosis says, why don't you give mi-pi acherim? That could be the poster boy for Shuas Ha'edus. Good question, right? Doesn't answer it. So what's interesting is, that if you ask me for the Rajba in Bava Kama that we discussed already, right? This should be a very powerful question. He doesn't say anything about it, but the Ramban in the Mulchamos on Chafei Amud Beis, Balamor has everybody has a different pshat in this Gemara, like 10 Perushim in the Rishon. Very rare to have so many. Balamor has a whole reading of the Gemara. So the Ramban says about the Balamor's reading, which is not important now. What he says is important, but not with the Balamor. Balamor has, the Gemara is trying to find another nafkamina. So the Ramban says, what? The Gemara is searching for any nafkamina, no matter what it is. Then they might as well have said, trivial nafkaminas like me piacherim, mashbia kenishba. The fact that they didn't shows that they're looking for, characterizing nafkaminas, not just technical nafkaminas. He doesn't say those words. Characterizing and technical. But basically that's what he says. Why am I telling you this? Because this is what we're discussing. We're trying to figure out, is mipiacherim and mipiatzmo the same? Or is mipiacherim something very different? Or mipiatzmo in Shuas Edus is different? Two tracks. The Rajba, right, in Bava Kama, at minimum was saying that mipiacherim, the words, the Ramban uses the expression in Milchamos, I mean, piacherim, right? Mashbia kenishba. Those words, mashbia kenishba, appear in the Yerushalmi. What's in a phrase, right? If you say the words mashbia kenishba, you're kind of diluting mi piacherim. What you're saying is kind of what I said before, which is, you can have mi piacherim not because you don't really need a hafla, but because when there's already a previous relationship between the parties, then and he owes me, in a way, then I can impose my words on him too. In my opinion, that captures Majbiya Kanishba. And I'll tell you why, because the Yerushalmi actually speaks of the possibility of Mipiacherim, which was Bitui. So I think it's very Meduyak. And that's a phrase that the Ramban uses when he wants to say, you want any nafkamina? But in the Bavli, they never call it Majbiya Kanishba. And when Tosas asked the question, I don't know if they were looking for anything or they were saying, I have a better one. For the Rajba, it's certainly a better one. This is the question we're dealing with. When we talk about Mipiacherim, are we saying that Majbiya is Kenejba? Meaning the mechanism, the Chiddush is in the mechanism. At the end of the day, it's a Shuas Sheker. Maybe it would apply even to Shuas Bitu if you say that, in theory. We'll see in a minute. Right? Or if not, just because there's no Mitzar. Or are we saying that the Mechayev isn't the Shvuas Sheker because if it was, it would never work in Mipiacherim. It's the fact that he owes me this testimony, he's suppressing it, right? Not only is he suppressing it and lying about it, but he has the effrontery to lie about it b'shvua. That is not something that is relevant to Shuas Bitui. Maybe it is to Pui Kadom, because maybe Geza, maybe that's the act of Gezel, Bedibur. So this is a very critical question. So again, this is the Rambam and the Raavad here, I think, is very important. Now look at the Raavad. There's another Rambam and Raavad. Again, same. Very good. Halacha Tes. Tezayim. One second. Perikud Halacha. Just one second.
The Eidim don't say Amen. So what are they? What are they saying?
No, Yud-Zayin. Yeah. Let's look at Yud-Zayin. Same Rambam and Raavad. I'm sorry, yeah?
The Eidim do not say Amen. What are they saying?
This is what you asked me last week.
Yeah,
exactly. They say...
yeah, we agree.
What, oh, you asked me. Ein anu yodim. Ein anu yodim.
So what kind of shoe is it?
Huh?
Why call that a shoe?
Exactly.
We don't know about shoes, right?
That's exactly what we're saying. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. In other words, is the idea that even though they're what they objectively, the words that they say, shouldn't qualify as a hafla, but then they say, "Enu yodim, enas masha etem omrim b'shmeinu." But they don't say the word shvua. They don't say the word shem Hashem. So that's exactly what we're asking. Is the idea that in what the Rajba says in Bava Kamma? Rajba says in Bava Kamma. Remember the question was, how can you learn? The Gemara says that you have to come to court, and they prove it from shvua sa'edus. How do you prove it from shvua sa'edus? Shvua sa'edus is there's a shvua sheker. How does that prove that when there's no shvuas sheker that you have to come to court? When the guy just wants you to come?
Yeah.
Says the Rajba, the very fact that shvuas ha'edus is chayev mi piacherim, even though it's not a real hafla, shows you that the mechayev, the ikar mechayev here, my words, but this is basically what he's saying, the ikar mechayev is the kvishas ha'edus. So you always have to come to court. If you didn't come to court and you also are associated or connected with a shvua sheker that takes place because of it, even if it was mipi acherim, then you're even chayiv a korban. That's exactly what the Rashi was saying. But what I'm trying to say is that if you hold like the Rishalmi's language, right, mashbia kenishba, right, or the Ramban, or some of these other formulations, then you say no. It's true that the words that come out of his mouth do not include the key phrases, right, of Yeshua. But because the other guy has the right to impose upon him, he's got to respond to him, we draw a circle around everything that both said. What allows us to draw a circle and then make that into a nishva? The tziruf. But then what we're really saying is, even though the words Shem Hashem are not there for the Rambam, and the word shvua or kinui is not there for anybody else, it's much be a condition. That's exactly what we're talking about. And what I'm trying to show is that for the Rambam, at the end of the day, there really are two tracks.
Okay.
So let's look at Halacha Yud-Zayin. Bamedvar Mamurim, once again. Bisha'ana Amen. Aval lo anu Amen ala kafru al kol shvuo shvuo ho v'lo hotzi shvuo mipeim v'lo anu Amen. Harele p'turim ad sheyashbiyem bebezdin v'yichru bosham kemosha biarnu. Again, same thing. He just keeps repeating it. Every time he repeats it, you have to read it slowly and say, what's he saying? Right? That's Mipi Acherim. The Mipi Acherim requires... No. That's the whole point of the Rambam.
Why, he could do the Shmua to them outside.
In Mipi Atzmo. That's the whole point. The Medvar Mamurim Bishanu Amen. Because that's Mipi Atzmo. Then you don't care where the Shmua is, you only care that there's a Kfira of the Bezdin. You need, for Bipi Acherim, says the Rambam, you need two requirements. Kfira Bebezdin and Shvua Bebezdin. Just one second, I'll make sure. I don't know what this is. Says the Raavad again. Amar Avram, Halokar Rameir Velokar Abanan. Here at least he's admitting it, you know. It isn't exactly Rameir, but he says it's not Rameir, it's not Rabbanan. Betoz Gedola Nichasabo. This is a big mistake. Vedad Rameir Rabbanan, Beshua Seidus, Beshua Sapikadin, Modu, Beshua Gufa, Filo Hoysa, Chutz, Lebez, and Chayim. lo pligi ela bekfirasam. The only argument between them is about the kfira, not about the shvua. The shvua can be anywhere. Rav Meir Savar, Shua Seifus Piatzman, Afilu Kafr Chutz Lebezdin, Chayavin, Afa Pishahud Lebezdin, Mikomakom Pikaran Gamrinan La, Dun Mina Umina. Rabban Savri, Kfira Lebezdin, Beinan Dun Mina, Vyu can be Atra. Ubishua Sapikadin, Savra Meir and Piakarin, Beinan Kfira Lebezdin, Dun Mina Eidos, Vim Kafra Chutz Lebezdin, Hor Lebezdin, Potter, Rabban Savri and Piakarin, give it to Kafra Chai. He's regurgitating the whole Dun Mina Bu can be Atra. But what he's basically saying is, why is he doing that? Because what he wants to say is, I know Rambam and Rambam advocates that he doesn't actually paskin like Rav Meir. That he paskins that even Bipiatzmo requires Kfira Bebezdin. But if the argument is Dun Mino, Biyukum Biatra, right, and either on the Limud side or conceptually, what that means is that Bipiatzmo equals mipiacherim, or mipiacherim equals mipiatzmo, and shuas ha'edos, and in shuas ha'pikadon, then in the end of the day, there shouldn't be enough gemina where you take the shvua. Correct? Okay. So, what's particularly interesting in all this also, is that the Rambam has another chiluk between mipiatzmo and mipiacherim. This one is not so difficult to explain. And that is in Halakha Yudalit. Rambam says, "Komakom shamarnu patur." Right? Patur mishuas edus avachai mishuas bitur. This is the Rambam's halacha of the Gemara and Chafei that I keep referring to. The Rambam says, "Whenever you're patur for shuas edus, you're patur for shuas edus, but you're chayiv b'shuas bitur." Okay? V'husha nishba, oshana amen. However, says the Rambam, that's only if it's mi piatzmo. Amen or nishba, right? Imish biyuacher shor nishba al sheker. Aval amuchiv shuas ha'edus afa pishu nishba al sheker, afa pishu humezid, enochai mishum shuas bitu, yelam mishum shuas ha'edus bulvad. And then he goes on and explains. This is very mechudash, this Rambam, about that Gemara, but that's not our problem right now. What's meduyek in the Rambam that I'm interested in? Rambam says, when you are potter for shuas ha'edus, you're chai for shuas bitu, but only when it's mi piatzmo. And the, okay, that mostly makes sense because Shuas Bitui, Mipiacherim, pretty much, it's Potter. What's curious about it is that the Rambam has a case where it's Chayiv, which I'm going to show you in a second, of all people. Number two, even if he didn't, there might be reason to think that in this particular case it should be Chayiv. I'll explain why in a second. And number three is this, the language that he uses. Shaharei nishba al sheker. Meaning what? If it's mipiacherim, you're not nishba al sheker? Right? He just says, kol makom shamarnu patur, patur mishuas edus, elchayv mishuas bitui, v'hu shenishba o'ana amen. Imish biu acher. He's explicitly excluding mipiacherim. Shaharei nishba al sheker. And mipiacherim is not nishba al sheker? The answer is, for the Rambam, in a way, the answer is yes. Because the Rambam, though he doesn't paskin like Rav Meir, thinks that even the Chachamim distinguish between Mipiatzmo and Mipiacherim. Right? So in a way, what the Rambam's saying is, Mipiacherim, usually, right, reflects not just Shvuas Sheker, but Shvuas Eidos. Shel Shvuas Sheker. Now why is this Mechudash, this Rambam? And I'm not sure that everybody agrees. I think the Mordechai in the beginning of Shuas Eda certainly doesn't agree. Maybe the Rimigash doesn't agree. Rimigash al Chafei Mavais maybe would disagree. I don't know. I'm speculating. If we take the view that what's unique about Mipiacherim Shuas Eidos is what I call the Tziruf, namely the fact that he can impose the Shvua upon the guy, well, let's say for some reason you were Patur, but let's assume that the basis of imposing the Shvua upon him, you know, was still there, was valid. That's a tricky question. Why was it Potter? There can be Potter for various reasons. It can be Potter because there's no Chiyuv, Hagadas, Eidus. Then what the Rambam says makes total sense. But let's say there's a Chiyuv, Hagadas, Eidus, and for some other reason, it's Potter. Right? So then maybe he should be Chayiv, Bishim Shuas Sheker, because it's like, to use the language of the Ramban, Mashbia Kenishba? Right? And especially what's curious about it is that of all Rishonim, the Rambam, one you would have thought, would have been the most open to this possibility. Why? And with this I end today, and then we'll finish this up quickly and move on to the Gemara next time. The next Gemara. The Rambam has a very fascinating halacha, very curious halacha that everybody worked on in Perek Dalid, Hilchos Shvuot, about Shvuot Bitui. Where is it? Perek? Perek Dalid here somewhere? Yeah, no? Yeah, Perek Hay, sorry. Perek Hay. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Perek Hay halacha Dalid, sorry. I have today a Dalit, hey, Dalit. Hey, just, I'm just going to do quick, because I have to finish in 1 minute, so. Bamedvar Mamurim, this is the Rambam saying that, you know, somebody imposes a shvua upon, somebody says to you, I hereby declare, I take a shvua that you will not do something. I take a shvua that you will not drink Diet Coke tonight. Is that a shvua? Says the Rambam, no, that's ridiculous. You can take a shvua about what you're going to do. You can't take a shvua about what somebody else is going to do, right? Then the Rambam adds, "Bamed v'mamurim kishmedishba al davar shenu barshusa." If the shvua is about something which is not in his power or domain, kagom nishba ruvein al Shimon shalo yelech beskora. I make a shvua that Shimon's not going to go to business tomorrow, right? Or shalo yochal basar. That wasn't so off, right? Ruvain, let's say Ruvain takes a shvua, shaloi kanes shimon bebeso, v'shaloi henem in a chasav. The avar shimon v'nichnas lebeso shal Ruvain, v'nenem in a chasav, shalom midas Ruvain, not sure why it's b'shalom midas, Ruvain patur sharehu anus, that's strange, v'shimon chayev, even more strange, sh'avar al davar ha'asra l'alasoso, shalom nishba ze el al davar shehu b'rshuso, v'chein kol kiyotza bazeh. This is a Rambam that attracted a lot of attention. What does he mean? Just to highlight it, and then we'll leave it for next. I'll tell you the question, and then the tour quotes this Rambam, disagrees with the Rambam, says, if this Rambam were talking about the Darim, he said, I would be fine with it. Because the Neder is an Yisr Hefta, you impose a status on something else. I can impose on something that I own a status of Mudar Hana Neder, which affects him. That's as far as he is concerned, this is Mudar Hana. That's an Isar Chavtza. But an Isar Gavra, right? How can I impose an Isar Gavra on my neighbor? Torah says it's just wrong. The question is, what does the Rama mean here? So there are all sorts of views. I'll talk about some of them next time. The Kesef Mishnah, kind of, and Reb Chaim in the stencils, say the Rama here is talking about a kind of Mujba Mipi Acherim. I normally, Mujram Piachem doesn't apply. The Mishnah seems to say, and the Gemara on Chavtesun Beis, we read it last time, seem to say there's no such thing. The answer is, typically there's no such thing because there's no Metzaref. I mean, of course, I can't tell him, I can't take a shua he's not going to go to work tomorrow, and I can't take a shua that he's not going to drink or eat meat tomorrow. But I can, perhaps, I do have the right to impose upon him Bishvua, my shua, that he can't come into my property. But what's fascinating is that when you think about it, so Shua Sa'edos, that went wrong? What is that? So the interesting thing also is that the Yerushalmi, in the very end of the third parak, is not like the Bavli. At least that's the Karban Eda points out. It sounds like the Yerushalmi, it's the Girsa of the Karban Eda certainly, thinks that maybe there is a kind of Mipi Acherim for Shua's Bitui. Yeah, that would be Mashbia Kenishba, though. It would never be what we're talking about here. And that's why I think the Rambam didn't formulate that. The Rambam thinks that there are two dinim of Mipi Acherim. Yeah.
But that doesn't answer how he could say that Shimon is Chayim. Yeah.
No, it does, because he's imposing this Shvuah upon Shimon.
Yeah, but Shimon is not a party to it.
He is. Shimon has no right to come into my property. So I can impose upon him a shvua not to come into my property. It's still a chiddush. Meaning, if I was saying Shimon can't go to his property or neutral property, or do something.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be chayav.
That's a nonsensical shua. But if I say to him,
if you take a shua, Shimon will not enter my house. The house isn't off limits.
That's a tourist asking.
A priori.
That's a tourist question. Tourist says, if it was a neder, I'd understand it because you put my house off limits to him. But it's how can your Isser Gabra affect him?
Right.
But that's a question, 100%. What Reb Chaim says is, well, it can't because normally there's no connection between the... I'm interpreting Reb Chaim, but there's no connection between the people. But vis-a-vis my property, maybe I can impose on him in the same way that I can impose a Shavuos Eidus on him. Then the Rambam's comment in Halakha Yudal, Perek Tes, Halakha Yudal, it is more fascinating. But I think the answer is because the Rambam didn't think that that was typically Shavua Mipi Acherim. That's Mashbia Kenishba, under certain conditions. But those are two different ideas, L'shitasa. So we'll talk a little more next time, and then we'll move on to the Shach V'Tari, the next Gemara.